welcome to the Trust the Wizards podcast. This is podcast 7A, a music review podcast, where we look at albums that have been recently released. This week, we're looking at David Bowie's The Next Day and John Grant, Pale Green
Ghosts.
Pale Green Ghosts. David Bowie, obviously, a huge big hitter, if you like, but John Grant less so. Can you tell us a bit about John Grant, Sharitho?
He's maybe not such a well-known name as David Bowie, well, definitely not such a well-known name as David Bowie, but he's very highly rated around these parts. He's ex-lead singer of The Zars, but he made his first solo album a few years ago. For my money, the best album of the last 5 years, along with the Dexys one. That was called Queen of Denmark, and the new one, like you said, Pale Green Ghosts. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He sings songs about love, rejection,
mostly rejection,
jealousy, homophobia,
despair,
alienation.
Yeah.
Happy Easter, everyone!
Hey, just to give you an idea of how we approach this, we all agree to listen to these records and then come along and talk to them, talking about them. And now, can I ask a question at first?
Mm.
The first two listens to both of these records, were they an enjoyable experience?
Yes. I mean, I think for me, the more immediate was the Bowie album. I think songs jumped out at me from that on first listen. After repeated listens, I still thought, yeah, those are the ones that I like best. Whereas the John Grant album for me, I changed my view as I listened to it a bit more. I think it's a little bit more subtle. And so it takes a few more listens to really get into it.
I think it's fair to say the John Grant album has had very, very mixed reviews compared to the first solo album, which was very highly acclaimed. But the sort of change in sound, the more electronic sound, has met with a mixed response.
Okay, so on first listen, you listen to this first time, you thought, I'm enjoying this.
Well, the thing with the Bowie album is, of course, the single that preceded it. I really like that.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed hearing that again, juxtaposed with new songs.
Can I see what I'm driving at here?
No.
I didn't.
That's not really a surprise, is it? Because you generally, that's your default position,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It is, yeah.
One of general hatred.
And it was doubled up with the problem that it was Monday morning, so I was on the commute to work on Monday morning.
See, that's not the right way to listen, though, is it?
You need to be picked up on that, and John Grant is not going to pick you up. He's going to irritate you. Big time.
Well, you see, I think you're listening to it wrong there, aren't you? I think that your journey to work is not conducive to really getting into a record. What you want to hear then is something probably that you know, actually. Whereas if you're listening to something new and the way to discover it, for me, it's in a darkened room with headphones on, and that's your focus.
Yeah.
I mostly have listened to these on the way to work, but that's my little 20 minutes of peace and quiet that I get in the day, going forward, back and forth to work.
So that is your darkened room.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the only time I'm kind of get to listen to music without being disturbed.
It's a general point.
In every sense of the word disturbed.
it's a general point, you know. But I struggled. I really struggled.
There's a deeper question there, Rebel, which is about music striking you the first time. And a lot of the best music is not the stuff.
Yeah.
We touched on this a little bit with the Nick Cave album that we were talking about before, but a lot of the music that will stay with you for a long time isn't necessarily stuff that's going to strike you straight away.
Well, that's what we say, you have to listen to it five times, otherwise don't comment on it.
Yeah, well, I think if you can comment on it, but you might well change your mind, I would stand by what I said, though, that the Bowie album is more immediate, and I think if you're only going to listen to each album once, that's the one that's going to probably sound better to you.
I'll be honest with you, on fourth listen, it started to get somewhere.
Which one are we talking about? John Grant?
To be honest, both.
Both.
On the boy one, I wrote down, it's a pile of thin white puke. Play on words, you see.
Yeah, that's what we're doing there, yeah.
Play on words. Yeah. I thought,
throwing darts in Rebel's eyes. The turn of the thin white puke, throwing darts in Rebel's eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought, they've lost his voice. His voice was buried so deep in the mix. You're thinking, this guy used to have a really distinctive voice.
But his voice has changed, hasn't it? It doesn't sound...
Got quieter.
deeper, would you say?
I thought, he's come to this, he's got as much money as he can imagine, he's got no pressure at all, so he will focus on doing something creative. And I thought he'd lost his confidence. I thought he's buried in the mix because he's not really confident enough to be that fella right in front.
See, I think the opposite. I think the fact that he's not had to put his voice right up there, right in your face, suggests the opposite, that he's comfortable with who he is and what he's done, and he doesn't need to, as you say, need to have a hit. You know, this is doing stuff for art's sake.
Well, another thing, did you think, because the thing with Bowie always fascinated me, you listen to those albums, you know, Rise Fall, Ziggy Stardust, Aladdin Sane, and the tunefulness, the tunes were just flying out of the man. And on some of these, they were really tuneless songs.
I'm not sure I agree with you. I agree with you about some of those albums that you've listed, but also there's some more difficult tunes on Diamond Dogs and Station to Station, which are reminiscent of some of the songs on this album. And also there's other stuff on this album, not necessarily the songs I'm going to choose for my favourites, but the Boss of Me one and I'd Rather Be High? Is that
I'd Rather Be High, yeah.
Those are quite
pop
immediate
songs,
pop songs. You Feel So Lonely You Could Die. It's as big a theme as...
Well, it did grow on me, I'll be honest. But I never got over that. The first three songs I thought were utter rubbish.
Let's put something into the ring here. What songs? Let's choose a song then.
Where are we going first? John Grant or David Bowie?
Shall we move on to John Grant and then we'll do our threes at the end?
All right. Okay. John Grant first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
him.
I didn't like that much. It was a bit grim, that. I thought it was a bit shite to start with.
Long, boring disco. Donna Summer in therapy. Like reading a teenager's diary. Self-obsessed narcissism. Now, I kind of got over that a bit, I have to say. Vietnam is a shocking song. You know, he has these lyrics which it's more like an essay than poetry. And he crams them all into the...
Don't you like that?
It works sometimes.
A lot of these things you're saying there, self-obsessed narcissism, yeah, but that's great. That's what you want to hear from John Grant. That's what he's...
I think it won me over because...
Made his name with.
One that I absolutely hated at the beginning, Black Belt. Mm. At the beginning, I'm thinking, this is... You know, other things were annoying me. This is driving me mad.
Really?
And it's
like black belt in BS. It's a classic line, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because after 4 years, I thought actually this is quite good. Because he's not moaning about himself. I just assumed that every word was moaning about something about his predicament. But he's not, is he?
He's having to go to someone else.
Yes.
He's moaning about someone else.
And actually, that's
and
an
he does
point,
play a bit of that.
I think he's stronger when he does that. Actually, his vitriol is something I find very attractive.
Yeah.
I think that was definitely the hits. The Queen of Denmark, number of songs, very angry songs.
And what a potty oath.
Yeah,
what a potty
and that's right, go. Yeah. But and I'd say the same here too. The ones where he's having a go, they're the ones I like.
Yeah, yeah. I quite like the sort of dance sound that he's gone with and the more electronic sound, especially the retro synth. When we saw him live, it was basically just two guys with some pianos and a synth which sounded like it was straight out of the very early 80s.
Yeah, it
was a good sound. And Gus, the guy who's produced it, I can't remember his name. He was in an Icelandic band called Gus, and they use a lot of those retro synth sounds on their records. Having said that, after repeated listens, when I first listened to the album, I thought it was all great. I liked all of it except for the Vietnam. I didn't really go for the Vietnam song. Didn't really like that one so much, but everything else I really liked. But as I've listened to it more, I've tended now to favour more the songs that sound like the ones on the first album, Queen of Denmark.
So the less electronic ones.
And one of the songs, You Don't Have To, which we saw we saw him in Manchester. If you picture the scene, listener, we're in the Royal Northern College of Music, in this arena that's frequently used for classical music, great gig venue, and he comes on. There's just one guy playing a piano and him standing there singing, and in a very sort of formal kind of venue. And he starts off this song, and the lyrics go, "Remember walking hands side by side. We walked the dogs and took long strolls through the park. Except we never had dogs and never went to the park. Remember how we used to fuck all night long? Neither do I, because I always passed out. I needed lots of booze to handle the pain."
Yeah. Now, see, what's not to like about that?
No self-obsessed narcissism there, then.
That's clear genius.
What's wrong with a bit of self-obsessed narcissism?
He
does it very well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you pick up an interesting point there, because it is a move, isn't it? Generally, the album has moved from the sound of Queen of Denmark was kind of rooted for me in the 70s. It was sort of 70s.
It's Midlake, isn't it? The band
Midlake. Yeah, it is Midlake. Yeah, that's right. But it doesn't sound like Midlake particularly. I think it could be any sort of AOR band from the 70s. But the lyrics win you over. Here he's moved into the 80s, hasn't he? With his kind of Human League and all that sort of thing going on. But the lyrics, again, are fantastic.
Sometimes the lyrics get a bit lost in the production, though. You can't really hear the lyrics, but, you know... So there's this disc which came with it, if you bought the album from Rough Trade. Other independent music retailers are available.
It's not BBC.
this disc isn't available from them, though.
But not with this disc. This is called the Strong Room Sessions, and there's four songs on there just played acoustically, just with piano and vocals, and they're stunning.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of those versions are better than the album versions, I think. Yeah.
Better is an interesting point, but certainly it sounds like when we saw him live.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's why
I like him more.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on the, let's just say it as it is, the homosexuality?
There's a lot of homosexuality.
Running through the record.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's very, very upfront about that.
I've never really noticed it before.
Well, on the first album, there's a song called Jesus Hates Faggots, which is an ironic song. But he's obviously faced a lot of homophobia in his life, from what he says in that
song. But not just that. He brings that as a theme. But I thought Black Belt, particularly, if he was dressed in stocking and suspenders with a wig on, with probably a basque.
He's a big bloke, isn't he?
He is a big bloke. In Canal Street in Manchester, on the stage, presenting that song, he'd get away with it. it's a camp rant, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a diva... given it all at the transvestite club Saturday night.
No, I mean, I think he's a voice of the gay movement, isn't he, in lots of ways, I thought.
But there again, see, you look at the front cover, and he's staring at it very suspiciously, you'd have to say. But he's a very well-dressed man. He looks like a farmer.
Beautifully designed front cover as well. The shades of brown and green, and whoever's designed that, love it.
Brown and lime.
Brown and
if
lime,
you decorate in your house, brown and lime works.
But it's like those sweets, isn't it? Those lime chocolates.
Yes.
Whatever they're called, lime chocolates.
They're disgusting.
Oh, we like those.
No, they're absolutely disgusting. Yeah. But the cover is nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, should we go on to the songs?
Come
from
on,
the
let's do some jokes. We've been rattling on for over 10 minutes.
Yeah, songs from the albums then.
All right.
Okay. Do you want to go with Bowie first?
Bowie. Yeah. So I'll tell you my three.
Yeah.
All right. Not in any particular order at this stage, but the three that I would select from that album are "Love Is Lost," "Where Are We Now?" and "Valentine's Day."
All right. Just to explain how this works, this is proportional representation. Everyone has three choices, and one record gets played. It's the most popular one out of the three threes.
Mm.
Chirito.
I haven't got three songs, you see. I'm going to have to choose three
songs. Just mine.
I really like Dirty Boys. It reminded me of Station to Station and Iggy Pop's Sister Midnight. Love Is Lost as well. And I've got to choose one more. Well, I liked If You Can See Me, and I liked How Does the Grass Grow, but I'm going to go with You Feel So Lonely You Could Die, because it reminded me very much, the chords are almost the same as Rock and Roll Suicide, the feel of it is almost the same as Rock and Roll Suicide. At the end, the drummer does a little, I'm sure it's deliberate, a little sort of quote from the very beginning of that album, because he plays the intro to 5 Years. So I'm going to go with that one. Love Is Lost...
Yeah.
Dirty Boys, You Feel So Lonely You Could Die.
Well, it's a two for Love Is Lost at the moment.
It's a two for Love Is Lost. Oh, well,
have you got that?
This might be controversial. Because I've got Boss of Me. Mm. I thought that was a very solid...
I didn't like that one.
I got Valentine's Day. So it's a tune for Valentine's Day. Very tuneful. That
I really didn't like Valentine's Day either.
Mm. And I thought a really innovative song was If You Can See Me.
Yeah.
So that was my three.
That was one of mine.
So we've got three with two votes.
Yeah.
So we've got...
But, yeah, so...
We have to choose one of those, then.
Well, I really didn't like Valentine's Day.
Okay, well, that goes, then.
Or, what was the other one?
Love Is Lost.
I liked that one a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, what do you mean... So two of us got If You Can See Me?
Two of us have, yeah.
So it's Love Is Lost or...
If You Can See Me.
So I didn't like If You Can See Me.
What would you know, listeners?
Right.
We arm wrestle.
How do you feel about Love Is Lost? Did you particularly dislike it?
No.
Okay. Right, well, I think that one works.
Should we listen to it now?
Let's listen to it now.
really like outside.
Sorry. Yes, I like that as well.
I like it outside, it's nice, isn't it? Bit cold at the minute, though.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're back on. I thought we'd come back with a bit of conversation.
Oh, very good, yeah. So you didn't like that, really, did you?
No, it's tuneless. Tuneless, voice buried, no chorus. I couldn't.
See, for me, that's the song that I would go.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it takes me back to low.
Makes me low.
Well, but Chirito makes a very interesting point. I don't know if we came back before we stopped talking about that, but he was saying how, you know, it's very difficult to listen to a new David Bowie song without thinking of all those other David Bowie songs that you know so well.
Because you listen to it and you think, well, it's all right, but it's not as good as Hunky Dory. It's not as good as Station to Station. But you wouldn't think that if you were just listening to a new song by some new band you'd never heard of. So it's a bit unfair that David Bowie has this sort of weight.
The weight of history is weighing heavy on his shoulders.
Yeah, and like I say, I tried to listen to that as if this is a band I've never heard of before. What do I think of it? Would I want to hear more records by this band and try to ignore the fact it was David Bowie? And I did find that I'd like to hear more of this, whoever these new people are.
Have you found that you wanted to go back and listen to it more, the album?
No.
You've had a bit filled now,
yeah? Yeah, no, I went back a couple of times just to try and find three songs that I liked.
Right.
I managed it.
Okay, well, should we move on to John Grant's
album? Let's do that, because I did like that. I think this was a better album. It was more interesting, you know, the sounds were more shrill and, I enjoyed this one more. So we're going to move straight to the voting.
All right, okay, good.
Straight to the voting.
Well, you start this time then.
Okay, fair enough. I think the best three songs of this album was Black Belt, the one I hated so much at the beginning. Really grew on me, that one. There's one at the end called Glacier, which I think is sort of Manifesto. And it's all about, you know, you can be who you want to be. And when I realised that it wasn't all self-obsession negativity, actually, even though it sounds quite pessimistic, the song, it's actually very, very positive. And my third one is You Don't Have To.
Yeah.
I think because it's a good tune.
Okay.
Well, I also got You Don't Have To, but I prefer the piano, as I've already said, I prefer the piano version, which is on that bonus disc there. GMF, with its chorus, I am the greatest motherfucker that you're ever going to meet. with Sinead O'Connor on there, of course, you can hear why Sinead O'Connor wants to be associated with this guy, with the sort of heart and sleeve lyrics and
is
stuff.
Is that the one that has the lyric? I should have practiced my scales.
Yeah, I should
go with males.
Yeah, I should have practiced my scales, which I did think. Well, I've seen you play piano; you play very well. But actually, reading the sleeve notes, I realised he's not playing any piano on this. He's doing a bit of synth programming and obviously all the vocals. But it's another guy called Christopher something, probably the guy who was with him when we saw him in Manchester, playing on this bonus disc some absolutely stunning piano, and also on the song Glacier. So that's You Don't Have To, GMF, and then I'm torn between Glacier and I Hate This Town. So I'll
hate this effing town, obviously.
Yeah, so I'll go with I Hate This Town, and then if you need a tie break, we'll come back to that.
Well, very soon, I've gone for the sweary GMF.
Mm-hmm.
I like a bit of swearing in, as you know.
We know.
I've also chosen You Don't Have To. But my third song was It Doesn't Matter to Him,
that's also a very good song.
Really,
I have to say I love every song.
I tend to agree with you, though, that probably the versions I've listened to more are the ones that are playing piano rather than the electronic versions.
So we've all chosen You Don't Have To. All three of us have chosen that song.
Yes, we have.
And we got two of us voting for the piano only version of You Don't Have To.
I don't think Rebel's been.
Have you even heard that?
No, of course I've not got.
Would you like to hear
it now? Let's hear it now.
Let's hear it now.
Remember walking hand in hand, side by side. We walked the dogs and took long strolls through the park, except we never had dogs and never went to the park. Remember how we used to fuck all night long? Neither do I, because I always passed out. I needed lots of the booze to handle the pain. You don't have to pretend to care. You don't have have to say things that you don't mean. You don't have to pretend to care. You don't have to say things that you don't mean. It just embarrasses me and makes you look like a
Well, there we are. That's pretty good, you'd have to say. I've been reminding my fellow wizards here that we shouldn't take John too seriously. He's having a laugh with us much of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to say that that song was from the Strong Room EP, which, as we mentioned before, I think is available from Rough Trade Records.
Exclusively.
If you buy the album from them, you get the normal album, you get the bonus disc, which is a disc of remixes, and this four tracks played on just piano. Yeah. Well worth getting.
Yeah, I think so.
Then we'll move to the final.
Yes, we're going to decide now, aren't we?
Yeah. Head-to-head, the Battle of the Giants.
Well, there's a clear winner for me.
Well, is there a clear winner for you?
I think so, yeah.
And there's definitely a clear winner for me.
So for me, of those two albums, the best album is the John Grant album.
I liked every song on the John Grant album, and there was three or four on the David Bowie album that didn't really appeal to me.
So that's three votes for John Grant. John Grant, you know,
even though David
Bowie's got all this money and power, he could push his records wherever he liked, he's been beaten by John Grant.
Good lad.
Good lad, John.
Congratulations.